God is good, amen? And that this morning, I want to talk just a little bit about Holy Spirit. And I want to talk a little bit about this idea where the Bible talks about Pentecost Sunday. You know, Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate our Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. That is our larger fellowship that we of Rockcliffe are a part of. Why? Because we believe we're better, right? We don't believe this idea that me and Jesus can do our own thing. Right, Rockcliffe's not out here by himself. I've got multiple bosses above me. The biggest boss is the big guy, and that. But I've got multiple ones above me, and we as a church, we submit ourselves to them and to come along because we feel we can do the work of God better when we do it together. And so I just encourage you, you know, to open your hearts towards him as we embrace him when we move forward. I'm going to do my best to plow through as quick as I can here because he's got some things on my heart. But all over the world, Christian churches on this day, Pentecost Sunday, are celebrating and recognizing the gift of Holy Spirit, realizing that God's very life, his breath, and his power lives in every believer. Let me just give a pause. Let me just give a 411 information moment here. The moment you ask Jesus into your heart, right? We say those words because we're trying to understand and we're trying to work this out, you know, that, wait a minute, okay, you know, Jesus, he went to the cross, and, you know, when we ask Jesus into our heart, so to speak, well, the Bible tells us, where is Jesus right now? He's at the right hand of the Father. He says, it's good for me to go, but I'll send the Comforter to be with you. I'll send you your guide. I'll send you someone that will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus walked away from his disciples at lots of times just to go and retreat to be with his Father and to pray. Jesus didn't do anything on this earth by himself apart from the power of Holy Spirit working through him. Why? Because Jesus gave up all of those rights that he had as God's Son, gave them all up, to come and walk this earth totally as you or me. And he relied everything upon Holy Spirit to lead him, to guide him, to strengthen him, to keep him focused, and that to get him moving on the path so he could accomplish his Father's will. Amen? And the Bible says the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that moved in Christ as he did miracles and everything else, is the same Holy Spirit that every single believer has when they open their heart up to him. Okay, that's what the Bible teaches us. Now, when we look at in the Bible, it talks about Holy Spirit in a couple different ways. It talks about the fact that everyone gets Holy Spirit. And then it talks about this baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is something different. And really, in essence, everyone gets Holy Spirit. Well, that baptism of Holy Spirit is when Holy Spirit gets us. And that's my easy way to explain it. Everyone gets Holy Spirit. We're all on the same page. But it's when Holy Spirit gets us. The Bible says the hardest part of your body to train, to discipline, to pour into submission, or whatever it might be, is your tongue. Hardest part. And in that part is that's where we come back to when we realize, wait a minute here, that's why it's the outward sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is because that's the one area we, you and I can't control. But when we allow Holy Spirit and that to gain control of us, okay, you've got everything. Now, don't get me wrong, that's not the end point, that's the beginning point of our journey of walking with him. After Jesus ascended to heaven, the men returned to Jerusalem and joined together in the prayer in the upper room. On the day of Pentecost, just as promised, a sound, a violent wind filled the house, and tongues of fire came to rest on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were given the power of communication, which Peter used to begin the ministry for which Jesus had prepared him. After the coming of the Holy Spirit, the disciples did not stay in the upper room basking in God's glory, but they burst out to tell the world. This was the beginning of the church as we know it. It's the beginning of the church as we know it. Happened right off of Pentecost. It was the birth of the church. Pentecost Sunday reminds us of the reality that we all have the unified Spirit, Holy Spirit, that was poured out upon the first century church. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. It's a reminder that we are co-heirs with Christ, to suffer with him that we may also be glorified with him, that the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. You see, when God comes upon us and he gives us a gift and we move in a gift, it's not so that we can say, hey, look at me. I got it together. I got one up on someone. I was used twice this week. I'm his favorite. My kids joke with me all the time, and they're always, you know, oh, Dad, I'm your favorite. And they'll get a response from me. I'll say, Isaiah, you're my favorite son. You know, or Hannah, I'll say, Hannah, you're my favorite middle child. Or Hannah, Abby, you know, you're my favorite youngest daughter. You know, and they're just like, oh, Dad. But you are his favorite. You are his favorite. We all are his favorite. And Holy Spirit, and that helps us to make the connections that we need as we open our hearts. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That we are all, and that given the Holy Spirit, we're all participants with him as we open our hearts to him. I don't know about you, but have you ever read in the book of Acts or watched in the life of the early church? You know, is there ever a moment, maybe that moment when, you know, John walking down the road and all of a sudden it's silver and gold we don't have. But what we have, we give to you. Now rise up and walk. I don't know about you, but that'd be a pretty cool moment to be a part of, wouldn't it? Or all of a sudden they're walking down the road. They're on a mission. No time to stop. So it's that hurry up, one-stop shop thing as they're walking down and their shadow passes someone that is sick and that person gets healed. I mean, there's amazing things when you open up the Word and you start. Isn't that amazing? I don't know about you, but it's kind of like the same idea when we talk about the good old days. And I look back at the times that I spent as a young boy, first off, because I had to, because my mom and dad grew up, had me on the front pew, basically, and I was in the church, and so I was drug around. If I'm up front, you're coming to sit and sit in that chair. But it wasn't long that I wasn't in the chair, and I was moving a little closer and a little closer. And the encounters and the moments with God and the powerful times that I've had with God growing up as a kid over and over to camp, the power of Holy Spirit coming upon me, and that moment after moment after moment, and those times were amazing. But aren't we terrible creatures of habit on that part, that when we look back and we want to look back to prove something today, we'll look back and say, oh, all we do is remember the good. Or, and that when we want to prove we're not happy, what do? We look back and all we remember is the negative. In our marriage course, we are talking that the very first key that we got to get across is perspective. Growing up in a home of 10 kids, my dad owned his own business. Can you imagine trying to produce enough milk? I mean, old Betsy the cow couldn't keep up, and that with all of us kids, and it was literally, there was six of us kids, and there was four of them that were still in diapers at one time, right? Like, I mean, I don't even know how they survived. But as I look back at that, I look back, and when I talk about my childhood and what I remember and what I saw that my dad would do anything for me. All I had to do is ask. If I asked him, and that he would find a moment of time or whatever it might be to help me. But I have another brother that looks back and dad was busy all the time and never showed up at my games. My dad didn't come to my games either, but I knew why. And perspective-wise, it doesn't impact me. But yet, how could two of us look back at the same moment and come with two different conclusions? As much as I look at those moments in Scripture and say, wow, wouldn't it be awesome to be a part of that first book of Acts church? If I was just a part of that, oh man, that would be awesome. Well, let me explain a little bit about that church. Considering the early church, well, the early church was incredibly persecuted. They argued over who got more food. They experienced fighting and division. And we can see that in Barnabas and Paul, two of the great leaders. There was selfishness in that first early church. Ananias and Sapphira, just one of the examples. They waited 8 years after Pentecost before they were obedient to God. Because God said, go out to the ends of the world, before they left Jerusalem to bring the gospel to the world. The fact is, we are a lot like the early church, not only in our human failures, but also in the resources. Because Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have to change the mentality in our hearts that we lack something. Oh, that crazy internet has just taken away everything. Oh, the generation is just this and that. That's the problem. No, the problem is, we're not giving way and sacrificing and being obedient and allowing Holy Spirit to lead. The Bible tells me the same thing it told me when I was a young kid and got saved, and it's the same thing I read today, is Jesus is building his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. So has Jesus grown tired and weary? Is he given up on his bride? Not at all. We need Holy Spirit in our lives. As a kid, I remember, you know, growing up, and I grew up in the early kind of mid-70s and into the 80s when Star Wars was becoming, you know, the big thing. And as a kid, you know, we didn't have a lot of toys and that, but we would go to the playground and we would play Star Wars. We would determine what character we were, and we'd pick up sticks and use it as our gun. And then when someone came, we'd say, no, I'm Luke now. And I turned into a lightsaber, and we would fight in the playground. Sometimes rocks would get thrown because they were like, you know, plasma grenades and things like that. And, you know, I think of now, like, if you even look at someone, you're sent to the principal's office and home. I mean, like, we were out there, we were like knee deep in it. It was someone always getting bloody or something happening. We were ripped clothes and dirty and everything else as we had a blast out there playing this thing. But usually where most of the fights came from was from this part. When all of a sudden we would turn around and we'd kind of get cornered, we'd lose sight of all of our other teammates, and we'd get cornered in a corner and everyone's coming against us, and all of a sudden we'd pull out a card and we'd say, you know, the Force. I use the Force. May the Force be with you. And all of a sudden, we put our hand out towards them as if we were, you know, using the Force, and they couldn't come near me now because I was protected. You know, and I think of that as a kid. And a lot of times, sometimes we kind of misuse Holy Spirit in a similar way, because we don't really understand. Holy Spirit isn't a force. Holy Spirit isn't an ability to heal. Holy Spirit isn't an ability to this. Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person. He's got characteristics, things he likes and doesn't like, and all sorts. He's a person. And in that part of understanding that, when we realize that, and that Holy Spirit is your energy, it's this part that energizes you, or that electricity inside, it's him. It's this way where the Bible says, and that it tells us that, and that if we would seek first his face, his presence, seek first his kingdom, seek him first, everything else would be added. If we would just surrender ourselves enough that we're all in with Holy Spirit, everything else that you need, you would find it's all there. We lack nothing in him. I lack a lot of things as Phil. I don't have enough gifts to really pastor this church without help from many other people. That's why we're better together. Right? We don't have everything. Any of us have everything on our own. But in Christ, I lack nothing. Because God will send resources through other individuals that will partner along with us so that as a church, we don't lack anything. Whatever we need, we'll have and at our disposal and be able to do the work of the Lord. When most people think of the force or the power of Pentecost, they think of that spiritual authority over demons, miracles, signs and wonders, speaking in tongues, gifts of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, the ability to witness and persuade people to open their hearts to Christ, or that spiritual knowledge or discernment because of the Holy Spirit power that we have. And those are all legit and true and real that he allows us to walk into. They're all scriptural, and they're all available today. But they are not the power of Pentecost. They are the overflow of it. And for example, if I use a light, and that light comes from a lamp, the light that comes from the lamp isn't the power. The power is the electricity that goes into the lamp. When light comes out of the lamp, it's that outflow that comes out, and that's what we see. We see the light. We don't see the electricity going down the thing unless you watch a cartoon, because then you can see that blue dot go down. But we don't see that. But what we see is the effects of that power. And yet the Bible is telling us again, don't chase after the hand of God, what he can do for you, what can I get, how can I move ahead, what do I need next, but chase after his face, his presence. Draw close to him and he will draw close to you. Holy Spirit is a person. It's not some force or weird thing that we give over ourselves when we're not quite sure, you know, overtaken now and then. No, Holy Spirit will walk hand in hand with you. I've shared once before, I talked about the part that we need to be like a glove. You need to understand we're just like a glove, and a glove laying on the ground does nothing. Laying on a desk does nothing. But when the power of Holy Spirit comes inside of us, he becomes that hand inside of us, and he begins to move us. He begins to shape us into whatever is needed to accomplish the things that are ahead of us. We don't have it on our own. And that's why he says we got to die to ourselves, that idea that I can do this on my own. This idea that I got enough, I'm okay. This idea that we are our own God. We die to that self, understanding we're just a floppy little glove. Some might be a little more colorful than others and different shapes and different things, but we're just a glove. And it's when the power of God that comes inside of us, all of a sudden we take shape and we can accomplish and we can do the purposes he's planned for our lives. So the power of Pentecost wasn't the signs and wonders and all of that, but the power of Pentecost and then what Pentecost really was all about was them opening and receiving the person of Holy Spirit, allowing him, his hand, to come into their lives and fill it and become and move it in every direction that it needs to move. There are things about him that are different from what he produces through people. Understanding his person is important to us in order to respond to the heart of God. Really, the Holy Spirit, understand in that who he is and what's important to him, the very first thing that I want to share is that Holy Spirit is the spirit of submission. So you want to get to know Holy Spirit's heart? I don't know about you, but when I dated Christina, man, we spent lots of time talking about a lot of things. What do you like? What do you don't like? Where do you want to go? And lots of time it was me drawing out of her. You know, hey, where would you like to go out to eat? Well, I don't know. Whatever. She's trying to be really polite. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, well, let's go here. And And I, well, would you like to get? Well, I'm not really hungry. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, and then she would grab what she wanted, and then I would grab something thinking, okay, that's great, and then she would eat hers and then half of mine, and I'd realize, oh my goodness, and that I need to do something different here. I thought I was going to get half of hers. And as I realized and we walked through, we spent time to get to know each other. And that's what God's asking from us to realize on this Pentecost Sunday, is that's what Holy Spirit is looking for. We use Holy Spirit a lot or abuse him. Do this. I need this. What about this? Come over here. Oh, if only you did this, or if only you were here, or if only this, or only that. Whereas reality is he's saying, just come and sit with me. Get to know my heart. And part of his heart is he is the spirit of submission. In sending Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, and that said he would not speak of himself. Holy Spirit wouldn't speak of himself. In John 16, 13, 14, he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth. I don't know about you, but in a world that is full of chaos right now, and there's no absolute truths anymore, how many think that it's pretty good to have a guide that would lead you to truth? And that's what Jesus says he's going to do. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, talking about Holy Spirit to Jesus, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So everything you need to know, Holy Spirit is getting a download from Jesus. And Jesus is giving him the lowdown. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, those humans are kind of fickle, and they're kind of like sheep sometimes, and they're kind of like this, but you know what? Don't give up on them, because they're my son. That's my daughter. I paid for them. I sacrificed everything because I love them so much. So don't worry. Holy Spirit's never going to get tired of you. If you've fallen down 99 times, don't worry. Holy Spirit's picking you up again. Why? Because everything that Holy Spirit hears is downloaded from Jesus saying, hey, that's my son, that's my daughter. Oh, their knees might be bloody because they've fallen down lots, but just go pick them up again. See, Holy Spirit's a person, but he won't do anything on his own. He's a spirit of submission, where same Jesus says, not my will be done, but the Father's. I've come, Jesus said, to glorify my Father, and Holy Spirit has come, and that to lift us towards Jesus. There's this perfect union we see in this part of submitting to one another, and that's what he's called you and I to. As we reflect Christ, as we're empowered by Holy Spirit, that we humble ourselves and we consider others before ourselves. I'm telling you, there's no greater force than that on this earth than when we allow Holy Spirit to part. We partner with Holy Spirit and we allow him to do the work in our lives. For we lack nothing in him. The essence of submission is not self-denial, but that you are so concerned about the interests of others that you cease being preoccupied by your own. It's not that things don't matter in your life. It's not that things don't need to get done in your life. But there's that part of that you're a part of something bigger than life. And you're willing to sacrifice. You're willing to overly. Why? Because you have a good daddy that will take care of you. The spirit of submission is not the denying of your personhood or becoming a doormat. Submission has to do with the acknowledging of a divine order. The divine order for the mission of the Holy Spirit was that he would glorify Christ. Jesus' mission was to glorify the Father, and your mission and my mission is to be like Christ. Amen? It's not that the Holy Spirit isn't as much a part of the Godhead as the Father and Son. He is. But the spirit of submission, that part inside of him, he desired to seek the task accomplished and to give himself, and just like you and I are to give ourselves up for him. If I put it in another way, it's always right, help me out, to do what's right. I've said this 100 times here, It's always right to do what's right, even if it doesn't turn out right for me or for you. It's always right to do what's right. We got to stop buying into the lie of this world. The end of the day is no. What matters is that we do what our Father asks us to do, and we become like Christ. We're about his business. That's what he saved us for. That's what he empowers us for, so that we can be a part of reaching the lost. Not only is he a spirit of submission, he's a spirit of supplication. The Holy Spirit energizes us. He prompts us. He directs our prayers. When you don't know what to pray, Holy Spirit will give you what to pray, the Word of God tells us. Supplication is another word for prayer. The Greek word for prayer occurs 86 times in the New Testament, and that by comparison, the word supplication occurs only 19. So because it's only used 19, it's pretty easy for us to look at those things and find out what is the flavor, what is the direction of this word supplication. What's the dimension of, and how does it make help us understand this idea or this dimension of prayer called supplication? You see, what we usually speak as prayer, as North Americans, is actually petition. We're asking God for things. Right? It's petition. We're petitioning him. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong in that. We're taught to do that in Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. But God welcomes those requests and he answers them. But supplication is directly related to what we usually hear expressed as binding and loosing. There's something about it. Unless we know there's an authority that Holy Spirit has given us, we will never move into supplication. Our prayers will remain as petitions. But he says, I've given you the authority to overcome all the works of the enemy. In Luke, he tells us that. And that challenge that he gives us as we walk into that part is to understand that the power of Holy Spirit is inside of us to accomplish the work that God has put before us. And this idea of supplication is this binding and loosing. With supplication, we're dealing with a struggle. We're in a battle, we're in a war, Ephesians 6 tells us. Spiritual warfare in which we are engaging now, right here, even today, to see people brought out of bondage and into the light, into freedom. That's why we need to shine bright for him. It doesn't happen without struggle and opposition, though. In Matthew chapter 12, 22 to 36, we see that whole part. Jesus is moving around from town to town. He's healing. He's doing great things. And all of a sudden, this demon-possessed man comes up to him, and Jesus releases him from the bondage of the demon that was possessing that guy. And all the religious leaders turn around, and they start, oh, he must be using power of Satan and that to do that. And we see this opposition because Jesus is standing up to do something that they couldn't do. And I'll tell you now, when you open yourself and you allow the person of Holy Spirit to lead your life, you will find opposition in the church. Oh, why would we ever do that? Because flesh and spirit war. And if we get comfortable and we don't want Holy Spirit to lead us, guess what we don't want? Let me put it a different way. When you've got a bummer of a day, you're kind of bummed out, sad, are you wanting bubbly, happy people around you? No. Most times we want to wallow in what we're in. Well, it's the same idea. And that's why there's so much tension in our churches sometimes, is because we're fighting. We're missing the point. We're missing the point that Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit in each of us. And he's at work and trying to unite us and to bring us together, and he's bringing us focus and direction. But we fight for our rights when in reality we don't have any rights anymore. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you truly accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, you have no more rights. No more. I don't care what the government tells you. I don't care what the world tells you. you and I don't have any rights anymore. Because it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. We were bought with a price. You are not your own anymore. You see, this is why we've got to understand that we are just the glove and he is the hand. And we need that hand. We need the power of Holy Spirit. We need the presence of Holy Spirit in our life. Otherwise, we become limp and we become useless for the kingdom of God. Because it's not by might or power. It's not by mustering up or changing something or throwing out a little or getting a little more excited or shouting something or raising our hands or doing something that we can just kind of attract his attention. We do that at our sports events, don't we? Right? As on the sidelines, we have the power to infuse those players and that we, the North, go Raptors, go. We have the power to infuse them by coming in behind and celebrating and cheering. Or we have the power on the sidelines to cut down and tear down. Right? We've seen both of it happen through sports. But in the faith, that's the world's things. But that's not how we operate. We don't operate that way. We're all out in the field together. At least we're supposed to be. And in that part is that we get out there together and we help each other, we assist each other, and that whatever we can do just to see the kingdom advance and see God move and to see what he has to accomplish. Because it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Holy Spirit is also the substitution. Jesus said that he would go away and send a comforter in John 16:7. The Holy Spirit was coming as a stand-in for Jesus. The Holy Spirit replicates the same role in our lives and that in people who are open to his ministry as he did with Jesus. He moves on them to understand the concept of substitution, like running a relay race. Each generation passing that baton on and that and saying, hey, you know what? We carried it, we did it, and now I'm going to heaven. If you're not in heaven yet, you're still part of this generation. Amen? Right? And that as long as we're not in heaven, we haven't passed the baton yet. Don't buy into the lie of this world that 65 sets us free from God and ministry and anything Holy Spirit wants from us. That's a lie. That's a lie. Everyone is useful. Everyone has a place in the kingdom. It will look different in every season of our life because life is not fair. Amen? But in our season, we need to find out what he wants. And that really comes down to the part of realizing that we're not our own. We don't work a job. We're called. We don't buy our own house where we want, whatever we want. We're called into an area. Holy Spirit's leading us. He places us there on purpose. We don't find our own church and decide, well, this is the church I want because it offers this, this, and this. But we're led by Holy Spirit. We're led by him. We're directed by him. That surrendering to the Lord's purpose in your life, all the evidence of the power of God, only serve their highest purpose when behind, they come in behind the very purpose of God. All the good things that we can do really don't mean a whole lot if God said turn left and you went right. Even on the right, you did 10 great things. It really doesn't matter a whole lot because that's not what he wanted. Right? Said, well, it's better, easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. Well, we've bought into so many lies of the enemy. So many lies of the world have crept into us as believers that we're so confused, we don't even know what's up and down sometimes. But the Word of God is so clear. If we would stay with the Word and we would grab the Word and we would walk it, we would find life and life more abundant. When it comes to submission, it has to do with our surrender to the Lord's purpose in our life. Luke 22:42, Jesus, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. He's facing the greatest burden, the heaviest weight, the biggest beating that anyone on the face of the earth has ever faced. Jesus took it all when he went to that cross. And before he stepped up to that cross, he says that very statement, if there's another way, God, if not, your will be done. I don't know about you, but I've said that prayer a lot. God, if there's another way. Oh, God, if you can teach me another way. Or, oh, God, if there's another way to go through this to reach someone, God, let it be. If not, Lord, your will be done. He never promised things to be easy. He never promised that you would keep up with the Joneses or someone else. He never promised that your bank account would be so fat that you could sit back and become lazy and not do anything for the kingdom of God. He never promised you any of those things. He promised that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And some of the richest people on this earth today are not the ones that got money. They're the ones that have surrendered to the Lord and just allow the sweetness of his presence to fill them every minute and breathe into them. I don't know about you, but there is so much I want to set around them. Why? Because I want them to leak on me. I want them just to rub off on me. It requires coming in to terms with Jesus' very clear concern that people were told the gospel, that we understand we're here for a reason. God saved you so that you can go and find people. You can share Christ. First, by being and showing the person of the light and love of Christ in your life, his presence working in you, Matthew 5:16. Father, if you are willing, and that he says, sorry, in that Matthew 5, he says, be in that light of the world to shine for him. And in this book by Francis Chan, I read a few quotes a couple years ago from it, but there's a couple others that God was pulling out of my heart, and I just want to read. It says, this principle carries into the way we live our personal lives as well. People often see the transformation in our lives and respond by saying, the Lord, he is God. Has anyone ever been amazed by your peace? Have they been amazed by your love? Have they been amazed by your joy? Have they ever envied your self-control? Have they ever prayed that God would so fill you? Have you ever prayed, sorry, that God would so fill you with a spirit that people would know the change could only be empowered by the Spirit alone? It is when we are filled with true peace and hope that people notice there is something different about us. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us both peace, and he's the one that gives us both hope. So instead of our quick 911 call when troubles come, God, get me out of it. God, make this fix. Do this. Maybe we need to pause for a moment and say, God, give me your peace and your hope. Give me your strength that I can pray. God, I speak healing and I speak a miracle. I speak release. And he wants us to step up to that. But on the other side is, until it comes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear anything. Because your rod and your staff, they comfort and guide me because you are here with me. You're here with me. What do you consider your life is really about? Have you submitted your work or your calling to Jesus? You see, we live in a culture that is so materialistic. Orienting around the average person doesn't think in terms of calling, they think in terms of opportunity. We are producing a culture of opportunists with very few that consider themselves called to do what they're doing. Many of us live in fear that if we submit to God's purpose, he'll mess up our lives. Submission can have you do. Submission can have to do with your personal life, can have to do with your children, your money, your lifestyle. That when we come to Christ, he's looking for it all. but he's not going to mess up your life in the sense of he will mess up my plans. Many are the plans in the man's heart, but it's the Lord that orders his steps. But when he messes something up that we thought was really good, it was only because it was going to end up being something destructive, something not so helpful, something that was going to lead us down a dead end or get us distracted. But God only gives good gifts. You can trust him. So let me finish. He challenges us that he is looking for us to go into all the world. But what do we have to offer? Well, the church down the road, they can do this thing better than Rockcliffe can. It's true. Another church down the road, they can do another thing better than we do. We can do something better than another church can do. What do we have to offer? Apart from the power and the person of Holy Spirit, what do we have to offer? Our young people are crying, saying, don't tell me anymore. Show me something. Show me something that's real, something I can hang on to, that in the middle of differences, that family still matters. Show me something different. Show me that when life hits me hard and I go through a really difficult time, I don't have to take it out on everyone else. I don't have to be down and sad and everything else, but in the middle of there can be a peace and a hope and a joy. Show me something. That's really what they're calling. They're not rebellious. This young generation, I work with them all the time. I'm around them a lot. They are not a rebellious generation. They're just a generation that will not take what you and I took. My mom and dad used to always tell me. And that, Phil, don't do that. Why? Because. Why? Because. Why? Because. Why? Because. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm not going to do it. But this generation is saying, no. Let's have a conversation, please. Why is this something not good to do? Why is this something good to do? Why do I really need this? Why is it that I should stay away from that? Can you talk to me about it? They actually want communication. And when they gain communication, I'm telling you right now, this generation, when they sell out, they're sold out for the Lord. They're all in. Look at them in the partying. Whatever they do, this generation, they're all in. They're going to go drinking, they're all in. They're going to go do something, they're all in. But if they come to Christ, they're all in. But they ask that question. We want to see something different. Not another story. Not another thing. Hence, coming back to the power of Pentecost is the very presence of Holy Spirit. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, you have Holy Spirit and every bit of power that you need to be who God called you to be, to accomplish all that he wants you to accomplish. All heaven's resources are at your disposal. You lack nothing to be able to accomplish what he's asked you to do. So as we move forward as an assembly, as a church, as we move forward as a fellowship of Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, that's our desire and our prayer, is Holy Spirit, have your way. Once again, here I am. Once again, here I am, Lord, and I come and I surrender my life to you. I'm just a mere glove. It's got no shape and no form until you fill me. And as you fill me, I can take shape and I can accomplish many things for your kingdom. Jesus, I just want to say thank you, God. There is no one beyond your reach. There is no one, Lord, that cannot move and walk and breathe with you. No one is a write-off. No one is pushed aside. God, even though we might have laid dormant for a while, that glove still has purpose and value the moment a hand goes inside of it. The moment we remember there's a hand there and we actually let it move. Holy Spirit, we just want to allow you to move in our lives. God, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, God, may we all come to know you as a person, Holy Spirit. May we rest in you. May we allow you to move in our lives so that others can taste and see that you are good. Jesus, I just thank you right now. Be lifted up, be glorified. Holy Spirit, help us. We can't do this on our own. We need your help because every time I try on my own, I fall flat on my face and I know I just don't have enough strength. I don't have enough power. I don't have enough smarts and abilities. But Holy Spirit, when you lead, you work all things for good. So thank you, Holy Spirit, once again on this Pentecost Sunday, reminding us of just how much we need you, Holy Spirit. And forgive us when we've treated you like an it or a force or just a power. Holy Spirit, we want to honor you today. And we lift you up. And we say thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for always, always seeing the best in us. Always drawing us up in righteousness. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for caring enough to stoop down and pick us up over and over and over again. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for kind of covering your ears sometimes when we blurt out all sorts of things, only to come back and say, we're sorry. Would you forgive us? I didn't mean to say that about God and all my anger and my haste. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You don't even remember it, but you just keep lovingly drawing us back. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You're an amazing, amazing person. And we submit ourselves to you. We just want to say we trust you. And so, Lord, I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, you would just reveal yourself into our lives. And I pray, God, Lord, this idea and this part of allowing you to have control, God, may that just be all of us. As we just continually open our hearts to you, may, Lord, we just be so filled with you that you just, everything we say is you, everything we see is you, everything we do is you. God, that we would find and have our being in you. Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you that you're not finished with us yet. And thank you, God, you've got great plans ahead for each and every one and for this assembly, this church, and our fellowship called the Pentecost Assemblies of Canada. And we just want to declare, Lord, that we will submit to you. Lord, we will submit to you. We will return to the place that we are meant to replace, and that is at your feet, and allow you to lead us, Lord. And God, we just give you that right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.